Mind the gap. Excuse me, is this seat taken?
Would you mind helping me with my bag?
Find me the place in the world where I missed a loving embrace, sweet lips to be kissed, an old-fashioned welcome would surely be bliss. Please find me that place in the world where I missed.
You're listening to The Arbling Chronicles, a series of children's storytelling hours by Bridget McCone, produced by Heather MacLeod. Today's story is Stations, read by Nicole Rourke, featuring music written, produced and arranged by Tricia O'Keefe. An additional insight and commentary from the pupils of St Joseph's Co-ed School, Eastwall in Dublin. This series was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
Barry Kearns woke up to the shrill shrieking of his alarm clock. It drilled into his skull and made his eyeballs jangle. Barry was a nervous type. In his head were hundreds and hundreds of disappointed people, all shouting at him at the same time. His doctor had given him a bottle of bright blue pills to cure his nerves. He swallowed two pills and set off for work, with floaty cam washing through him. Barry loved floaty cam. It was the coldest day of the year in the city of Erblin. A bitter wind whistled down the streets and alleys. A car roared around the corner of Old Street and skidded to a stop beside him. With an icy crunch, the car window rolled down and a woman looked out at him. She was about 40, with a thick jumper and dark glasses. "Can I take you somewhere?" she asked. Barry stopped.
"Do I know you?"
He blinked. "It's a very cold day to be out walking," she said. "Why don't you stay at home?"
"I have places to be and things to do."
Barry sniffed. "What places? What things?" the woman asked. He couldn't read her eyes through the dark glasses. "Are you sure you don't want me to take you there?"
"No, thank you. I'll get the train,"
says Barry, over his shoulder, teeth rattling. The woman's answer was almost swallowed by the wind, but it sounded like... With the roar of the engine, she was gone. Barry shook himself.
"Not far to the station now,"
he muttered under his breath. He could see it on the other side of the road. He frowned. There was a train standing at the station. His train. Barry broke into a run. He skidded across the road, fumbled with numb fingers in his pocket for his ticket. The ticket machine sucked up the ticket, paused, bleeped, and let him through. The train was still there. He was going to make it. He skidded on an icy puddle, banging his chin on the frozen platform. The briefcase flew open and scattered his papers to the winds. Barry Kearns raised his head just in time to see the train doors slide shut with a venomous hiss. And the train slide out of the station. He had missed it. Aching all over, Barry staggered to his feet. The floaty cam was gone, and he quivered and jangled from his head to his heels. The bitter wind stung the tears in his eyes as he picked up his papers with numb fingers. He blinked and looked around. An old man sat on a bench beside him, his knees up under his chin and his nose buried in his scarf. Barry Kearns walked over, but the old man didn't look up. Barry Kearns coughed. But the old man didn't move. Says Barry.
"Excuse me, do you know when the next train to Capital Station is?"
The old man raised his red, swollen eyes to Barry. The old man groaned.
"You have come to the place where the train is missed. You must find the place where you are missed."
"What?"
Barry asked. He was noticing that today was a strange day.
Is there a notice board that would tell me when the next train is coming?
Arm creaking, the old man lifted his finger and pointed up. A notice board hung over their heads. Letters written in flashing red winked and glided across the screen. Next train, Dunleavin Station, 12 minutes, the notice board flashed. Barry frowned.
I've been getting this train for years, and I've never seen a train to Dunleavin Station. I've never even heard of Dunleavin Station.
The notice board flashed a new message.
Second train, Dunleavin Station, 25 minutes.
The notice board went blank. Then hard red letters flashed at Barry again.
Third train, Dunleavin Station, 45 minutes.
What?
Barry yelled.
Three trains to Dunleavin Station and no trains going anywhere else for 45 minutes. What's going on?
But the old man didn't move or speak. He stared straight ahead with his nose in his scarf. Barry saw a thin streak of tears on his cheeks. Silence fell on the station, broken only by the howling wind. In a small room across the city, an old lady lay in her bed while the nurse cleaned her breakfast tray away.
Thank you,
said the old lady, tucking the covers up around herself. The nurse smiled. She was about 40, wore a think jumper and dark glasses. I'll be back with the lunch, she said kindly, shutting the door behind her. The old lady looked around the small, empty room and sighed. Lunch was in 5 hours.
Who do you think misses you the most when you're not there? Probably me, old brother, because he always wants to come out and play with me. Whenever I come back, he always runs to the door and hugs me.
I don't know, probably my mum and my dad. Because then when I come home, they hug me.
Probably me dad, because he rings me all the time and when I answer him, he'd be like, where are you? And I'd be like, I just let my phone in the bedroom.
Your ma just misses you anyway. You know they have to.
In the station, a tinny voice boomed out of the speakers over Barry's head.
All passengers, please board the next train to Dunleavin. There will be no other train services to this station. Repeat, passengers are advised to board the next train to Dunleavin and catch their trains from there. Thank you. Erblin Rail values you.
Barry frowned.
So I have to go to Dunleavin and catch the train to Capital Station from there. Is that what they mean?
The old man stayed silent. All of this was making Barry very nervous. He wished that he had a few bright blue pills left. He chewed his fingernails, but they didn't give him the same floaty buzz. Far off, he heard a thin squealing of wheels on frosty iron rails. The wind sent a plastic bag skittering across the tracks. A humming rose up from the platform through the soles of his feet. The squeaking of the rails grew louder, and two small lamps glowed far up the tracks. The train to Dunleavin was arriving. Across the city, the old lady listened to a trolley's wheels squeaking on the lino in the hall outside her small room and looked at the clock again. With a roar, the train to Dunleavin rumbled into the station and groaned to a stop in front of Barry. A puff of steam hissed from the train and the doors slid open. Barry couldn't move. Despite all the notice boards and tinning voices on the speakers, something was telling him not to get on that train. An icicle cracked loose from the notice board and dropped down the back of Barry's collar. He shuddered as freezing ice slithered down his back and jumped forward onto the warm train. The doors hissed closed and swallowed him whole. With a groan, the long, dark train pulled out of the station. On the platform, The old man blinked red, swollen eyes.
Good luck,
he muttered.
Find me the place in the world where I'm missed. A loving embrace, sweet lips to be kissed. An old-fashioned welcome would surely be bliss. Please find me that place in the world where I'm missed. Find me a place in the world where I'm missed. A loving embrace, sweet lips to be kissed. An old-fashioned welcome would surely be bliss. Please find me that place in the world where I'm missed.
Tickets, please.
Is this the train to Capital Station? Where on earth am I?
Is there a buffet car?
The wheels spin so fast as the mountains flash by. The track stretches on where the fields meet the sky. The carriages rumble, sliding doors hiss. Find me one place in the world where I'm missed.
Barry Kearns walked up the swaying train, looking for a seat. He passed rows of seats, all full. A quiver ran through him at the passengers on the Dunleavin train. Barry had seen eyes like those before. They were the cloudy eyes of fish on land. The passengers on the Dunleavin train stared ahead with their fish eyes, gloom hanging cloudy on them. Barry spotted a seat and slid into it, accidentally stepping on the foot of the fish person beside him. The fish person didn't move or blink. Barry shuddered. Tinny music played from the headphones plugged into the fish person's ears. Tsh-tsh-tsh-cha, tsh-tsh-tsh-cha. The song ended and the next song started. Tsh-tsh-tsh-cha, cha-cha, tsh-tsh-cha-cha. A girl sat on the seat facing Barry Kearns. She was young and pretty, with a smart Italian suit and posh French perfume. But it was her eyes he noticed. A spark of life still glowed in them. The girl looked up and saw him staring at her. He looked away quickly. In the middle of the third song, tsh-cha-ch-ch, tsh-cha-ch-ch, Barry went mad and decided to talk to the girl.
Hello?
He said. She just stared around the carriage.
Hello?
He repeated a little louder. She blinked.
Were you talking to me?
She asked. Barry decided to be honest.
Yes,
he said.
Why?
The girl in the posh clothes asked.
Do I know you?
No, but I don't know anyone else here, and I really want to talk to someone.
Barry said.
Where are you going?
I don't know.
The girl's lips wobbled.
I don't know anymore.
But how did you get here?
Oh, well...
The girl looked around, eyes wide.
It's a funny thing. I wanted to get to Skid Station, but I missed my train, and then the notice board said that all the trains were going to...
Dunleavin.
Barry interrupted. The girl stared at him.
Yes, exactly. You mean it happened to you too?
Barry nodded. It wasn't the girl who spoke, but the fish person beside him. Barry and the girl jumped. The fish person stared straight ahead, headphones playing, ch-ch-cha, again. He didn't seem a person who would cackle, tee-hee-hee-ha, for no reason. The girl poked the fish person with one beautifully painted nail, then turned and whispered to Barry.
See? I keep poking him and he just doesn't move. There's something wrong with everyone on this train. They just sit here and stare and gulp and sit. It gives me the creeps.
I wish I had my pills.
Barry muttered.
Your pills?
The girl blinked.
Yes, the doctor gave me them to cure my nerves. I get nervous very easily.
He sounded a little proud of it. The girl stared at him.
Well, I feel nervous too. But the only cure I want is to get off this train right now! Is that what the pills do?
No. No, they don't do that.
Then what good are they?
The girl asked. Barry bit his lip.
What's your name?
Yaz. I spell it with a Z.
The girl said. And she sounded a little proud of it.
I'm Barry.
said Barry, nervously.
I'm bored,
snapped Yaz. Barry wished he hadn't spoken to her. The wheels of the Dunleavin train screeched on their track. As it sped on through the frosted city.
What's your favourite way to travel? Train, airplane, boat, car, bicycle or walking? And why? Mine would be train, because I think it's easier to get around on it, but sometimes it does have a lot of delays on it. Yeah, I like looking out to see what going past. Like, I love seeing the Lansdowne Road Station.
My favourite way to travel is airplane, because I love when it takes off. It's just really exciting. And I always look out the window. I just feel really excited not looking down at, like, a load of cars. They look like little ants.
Four hours later, in a small room across town, the woman in the thick jumper and dark glasses walked back into the room, carrying the tray with the lunch. The old lady looked up from her bed and smiled.
What is it today?
She asked. Beans, potatoes and sausages. And water, answered the nurse with the dark glasses. She put the tray on the bedside table. The old lady sighed.
Again?
She asked, sounding more tired than annoyed.
Wasn't it beans, potatoes and sausages yesterday?
The nurse nodded kindly. And those two pills to take with your water.
Why?
Asked the old lady, frowning at the bright blue pills. To make you more comfortable, answered the nurse. The old lady shook her head.
I don't want to be comfortable,
she said.
I want to feel.
Far out in the country, Barry stared out the Dunleavin train window at the snowy fields and bare trees whizzing past.
It's been 4 hours, 4 hours, and we haven't stopped at any stations. Look at those trees and fields. We aren't even in the city anymore. Where is Dunleavin anyway?
I don't know,
Yaz snapped.
I didn't know 4 hours ago when you asked me. I didn't know 3 hours ago when you asked me. I didn't know 2 hours ago when you asked me. I didn't know 1 hour ago when you asked me, and I still don't know.
There's no need to be snippy about it.
Barry snapped back, snippily. Just then, a long, squealing screech threw everyone forward in their seats. Yaz looked around.
Wait a second,
she whispered.
Did we?
Barry whispered back.
Stop!
They yelped together. They turned, peered out the window at a single platform with a rusty sign hanging over it saying, Dunleavin. With a soft hiss, all the doors of the train slid open. Yaz and Barry dashed for the nearest door, clawing their way past rows and rows of fish people and leaping out of the carriage.
We made it!
Yaz gasped, hugging herself with excitement.
The train stopped,
says Barry.
We got off.
The doors of the train shut and it pulled away, leaving Yaz and Barry standing on the platform alone. They watched the train rolling away into the white, twiggy countryside and laughed with relief. Their laughs grew quieter until they were only grinning. Then their grins faded. The wind whistled through the empty platform. A ball of tumbleweed rolled past their feet. Yaz cleared her throat.
What now?
She asked. Above their heads, electric red letters winked and flashed on a notice board, spelling out one word. It was. Tee-hee-hee-hee-hee-haw.
The houses streak shadows over my face. The sheep and the cows try to stay in one place. The tracks all run straight, but the fields start to twist. Please find me one place in the world where I'm missed. Find me one place in the world where I'm missed. A loving embrace, sweet lips to be kissed. An old-fashioned welcome would surely be bliss. Please find me that place in the world where I'm missed.
On a lonely station platform, many miles from Dunleavin, an old man in a scarf sat curled up on a bench without moving. He shut his eyes against the bitter wind, peeled his lips open and spoke in a dry, cracked voice.
"Find the place where you are missed,"
he whispered. The ticket booth of Dunleavin station was old. A square box with a dusty window. A bored teenager in a stupid shirt reading a magazine behind it and an annoyed-looking Barry and Yaz in front of it.
"When's the train to Capital Station?"
"Or to Skid Station?"
Yaz added.
"Or to anywhere?"
Barry yelped.
"Anywhere that isn't here,"
Yaz added. The teenager didn't look up from his magazine.
"Don't know,"
he mumbled.
"Look at the notice board."
"We have been looking at the notice board,"
Yaz yelled.
"All it says is tee hee 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 ha."
"Oh,"
grunted the teenager. Or maybe it was
"Oh,"
says Barry.
"Oh, now listen, this is a train station. There's supposed to be trains. You work here, so you're supposed to know what these trains are. Now, are you going to tell us or not?"
The teenager looked up. Barry gave him the fiercest stare he could. The people who worked with Barry would have told you that he was a cam, floaty person. The people who worked with Barry had never been stuck on a train with him for 4 hours after his bright blue pills had run out. His fierce stare almost burnt a hole in the glass between him and the teenager.
"I think there's a train in half an hour,"
the teenager mumbled nervously.
"Half an hour? What are you supposed to do for half an hour?"
says Barry. The teenager shrugged.
"There's a drinks machine behind the wall,"
he said, pointing to a brick wall standing for no reason in the middle of the snowy fields and twiggy trees. Barry and Yaz, well, they realised how thirsty they were. They walked over to the wall. There was indeed a drinks machine behind it. It said Super Juice on it. Barry had never heard of Super Juice. The drinks machine said that Super Juice was liquid moonshine, but Barry didn't trust it. Partly because he didn't trust anything in Dunleavin station, and partly because he could see the rows and rows of little bottles in the drinks machine. And the greenish drink inside them looked less like liquid moonshine and more like something a yak would cough up. Barry counted out 10 copper coins. He needed 12.
"Of course,"
he said bitterly.
"This has to be the worst day I've ever had. I can't catch a train, I can't get to work, I can't get my blue pills, and now I don't even have enough money for a bottle of yak spit."
He kicked the machine. Yaz sighed.
"I only have 4 copper coins."
Barry looked up.
"Maybe we can put our money together and then share the drink."
They counted out their coins and slid them into the slot in the Super Juice machine. They pressed the Super Juice button. Nothing happened. They pressed it again. Barry put his hand in the hole at the bottom of the machine just to check that no bottles had fallen through. But it was very empty. He put his finger in the slot where the copper coins were supposed to come out, but that was empty too. The Super Juice machine hummed smugly to itself.
"What?"
said Barry. Yelped Yaz. They gasped together. For a moment, they just stared at the machine. Then Barry exploded, letting out a mad animal screech. He kicked the machine with his polished shoes and banged it with his fists. He howled and rolled his eyes. Foam bubbled at the corners of his mouth. Barry howled. Between the howling, the growling, the thumping and the bumping, neither of them heard a humming, hissing sound coming from the platform. Barry howled. It bubbled up from the core of him. The howl of an animal in pain. Doctors, bosses and bright blue pills had kept it bottled deep inside him for years, but Dunleavin Station and the super juice machine had set it free.
Barry, try to calm down,
Yaz said.
Ooh.
Barry moaned, his energy spent, his howling and screeching quieted into a soft groaning. Which was why both of them heard the venomous hiss of doors closing from the platform. Barry jerked his head up. He grunted in alarm. Yaz peered round the wall. She stared. Then she started to run. Her spiky purple shoes caught in the frost-sharp ground, but she kicked them off and kept running. Barry ran after her, making it round the pointless wall in time to see a long black train pulling out of Dunleavin Station. Yaz yelled and waved her arms, but it didn't stop. Squinting, Barry saw writing on the train saying, Destination, Capital Station, Via Skid Station. He moaned, dropping to his knees in the frozen soil as the Capital Station train disappeared in a cloud of dust and sighing. Without a word, Yaz hobbled back to him, picking up her spiky purple shoes and slid them onto her bruised purple feet. He looked up at her.
That was...
He wheezed.
Our train, yes,
Yaz said coldly.
We didn't hear it because of the noise you were making beating up that drinks machine. And we didn't see it because the wall was in the way.
The wall?
Repeated Barry, his eyes beginning to cloud over. A spark glowed to life in them.
Wait a minute. Why is there a wall built in the middle of nowhere with a drinks machine hidden behind it? It makes no sense. Unless it's trying to hide the trains.
Without another word, he marched to the ticket booth.
Now look here.
He barked at the teenager. But the teenager was gone. With a quiet electric humming, the words... glowed red over their heads.
What do you like about winter? What don't you like? Well, I like being inside when it's like raining and like looking out at it. It's cool. Well, I like watching the rain, but I don't really like being in it. And then, do you ever get when it's really cold and like there's like frost over the shores and stuff and it's really shiny? I think that's really pretty. Because like, well, I've never really experienced snow before, and it was good to, like, go out in it. Sometimes it's too cold. You can go inside when it's too cold anyway. When it's windy outside, I like it because, like, I like it when I'm inside. But I don't really like being outside in the winter because my hair goes everywhere, and it's very annoying.
The winter sun passed behind a grey, snow-heavy cloud, and a long shadow glided over Erblin. It stole the glitter from frozen puddles and brought a shiver to lonely men huddled in the alleys. Then it swept onwards, past the last of the houses, following a lone railway track deep into the country. Finally, the shadow passed over a platform in the middle of nowhere and brought a shiver to two of the most miserable people alive. Barry Kern shivered and looked at his watch.
It's been 2 hours since the train to Capital Station.
Shut up!
Yaz snapped, shivering.
all the people I could be stuck in a train station with, it had to be you, didn't it?
Barry snapped back.
At least I don't look at my watch all the time.
Yaz sniffed after a pause.
At least I don't stink of French perfume.
Barry snorted.
At least I don't take pills and try to make my problems disappear.
Yaz snuffed.
At least I don't have silly long nails.
At least I don't beat up drinks machines.
Shut up.
You shut up.
This is all your fault,
says Barry.
I was fine until today. I had a good job. I was happy and comfortable and full of floaty calm. Now I'm stuck in Dunleavin. My train is gone. I can't get to work. I can't even get a drink. I don't have my pills.
You really are cursed, aren't you?
Yaz muttered sourly. Barry stared at her.
What did you say?
He gasped.
I said you are cursed.
Yes, yes, that's it.
He pointed a shaking finger at her. Yaz stared.
What's it?
I'm cursed. It's the only explanation. Why I keep missing my train and the notice board keeps telling me to go to Dunleavin and now I can't get out. It's a curse. It must be.
A curse? Why would anyone want to curse you?
Yaz asked.
I don't know, but there's an old man on a station. Wait a minute. He said something about how my train was missed and I must find the place where I am missed.
Barry stared at her, eyes wide. Yaz looked around the wide, snowy fields of sighing wind.
And this is it, is it?
She said.
I guess.
Barry Kearns mumbled.
Find me one place in the world where I missed a loving embrace, sweet lips to be kissed, an old-fashioned welcome would surely be bliss. Please find me that place in the world where I missed.
I think I fell asleep again.
Have you finished with that newspaper?
31 down, bird of prey.
The countryside blurs and the sights slip away. Fields turn into streets and night slips into day. When all this is faded, cease to exist. Please find me one place in the world where I'm missed.
Far away on another platform, an old man sat curled up on the bench, his nose huddled into a scarf, and his red, swollen eyes staring straight ahead, without blinking. The freezing wind sent a plastic bag skittering across the platform, and someone cleared his throat beside the old man.
You've waited a long time, haven't you?
Said the someone in a soft voice.
Are you ready to go now?
I can never go.
The old man sighed like the rustling of the bitter wind itself.
The hex is on me.
But you know how to break it,
said the voice. The old man turned and looked at the someone. It was a stranger in dark glasses.
I can never break the hex,
the old man said sadly.
I am missed nowhere. I have left all my friends and family behind.
The stranger stared up the railway track.
Really?
He asked. A train pulled into the station with a hiss. It said, Destination, Company Station.
It can't be.
The old man groaned, tears clouding his swollen eyes.
It is.
The stranger in the dark glasses said.
Look.
I won't be able to get on it.
The old man moaned.
I can't catch the train. I've tried so many times before, but I always, always miss it. I can never catch the train.
The stranger turned his head. The old man couldn't read his eyes through the dark glasses.
Try,
he said simply. The old man stared. Slowly, stiffly, he uncurled himself and hobbled across the platform to the train. At the open doors, he looked back. The watching stranger nodded once. The old man nodded stiffly back, hobbling onto the warm carriage, tears trickling down his face like melt water. With a soft sigh, the train glided out of the station. The secretary in the office waved her hand in the air and waited for her nail polish to dry. When she glanced up, she saw an old man at her desk, staring down at her with red swollen eyes.
Ugh!
She yelped.
How long have you been standing there?
The old man stood silent, his red nose buried in his scarf, his hands shoved in his pockets.
Well, what do you want?
The secretary asked, running out of patience. The old man stood silent, staring down at her. He didn't blink. The secretary frowned. She turned to a young man in a suit who sat slumped in the corner.
Nick, I think your father's here,
she called. Dead Nick raised his head and looked at the old man.
Hello,
he said. His father's lip quivered.
I'm sorry,
he whispered.
I'm sorry I left you all alone. I'm sorry I never called. Can you forgive me?
Do you want me to?
Nick asked. The old man nodded.
Okay then,
Nick said. His father blinked.
I thought that would be harder,
he admitted.
Who do you think misses you the most when you're not there?
I think it's me dog, Piper. Because whenever I come home from somewhere with the bane, he always jumps and tries to jump through the door. Misses me so much. We call him a Hyper Piper. Too Hyper. I always give him treats. Because I love him.
Yeah, I'd say me dog as well. Because whenever you get in, they're always up on you straight away. They're jumping on you. And if you go upstairs, they follow you upstairs all the time. Yeah, I'd say they miss you the most.
In Dunleavin station, Barry cleared his throat.
Maybe we can get the bus,
he suggested.
Maybe it's only the trains that are cursed.
What bus?
Yaz asked, huddled in her smart but chilly Italian suit.
There's a bus stop over there,
Barry said, pointing at a pole in the distance, with the word bus written on it. Yaz squinted at the pole.
I didn't notice that there before,
she frowned.
Are you sure it's real?
Well, it's worth a try. Are you coming?
Barry grumbled.
Okay.
Yaz grumbled, because she was sick of sitting on Dunleavin platform.
But if the train stops while we're gone, don't blame me.
Hunched over from the wind, they stomped across the frozen fields. The bus stop seemed further away than it had looked.
See?
Yaz panted.
It's a ghost bus stop. No matter how far you walk, you can't reach it.
Barry grunted nervously, wishing for his bright blue pills again. Finally, they reached the bus stop.
Ha!
Barry crowed. The pole made a solid clanging sound when he knocked on it.
I told you it was real,
he laughed.
Ha!
Yaz was staring past his shoulder. Slowly, Barry turned around. In the distance, a long black train was pulling out of Dunleavin station and gliding away in the direction of Erblin.
Oh!
Barry howled. He kicked the pole with his bruised foot and thumped the pole with his bruised fist. Foam bubbled from the corners of his mouth. Yaz rolled her eyes. Barry sighed at last.
At least we're at a real bus stop.
Yaz frowned.
There's something funny about this bus stop.
What do you mean?
Well, there's the stop,
she answered, knocking on the solid pole and looking around at the frozen fields.
But where's the road?
Barry squinted at the bus timetable on the pole.
It says, next bus to Erblin, never. It is the coldest day of the year, and the hex is upon you. You have come to the place where the train is missed. You must find the place where you are missed. You have hurt, but you escaped the pain. Now you have come to journey's end. You'll never escape the hex until you learn.
Yaz blinked.
So we really are cursed.
A large black crow swooped down from the heavy sky and settled on the bus stop with a flurry of feathers. It opened its beak and squawked.
The houses streak shadows over my face. The sheep and the cows try to stay in one place. The tracks all run straight, but the fields start to twist. Please find me one place in the world where I'm missed. Find me one place in the world where I'm missed. A loving embrace, sweet lips to be kissed. An old-fashioned welcome would surely be bliss. Please find me that place in the world where I'm missed.
Oh, I think I fell asleep again.
Barry and Yaz sat on Dunleavin station platform in the bitter wind and thought.
We have to find the place where we are missed,
Yaz said.
That could be anywhere. I have loads of friends.
Barry sniffed, thinking of all the people who grunted, hello, when he came to work.
So do I.
Yaz yelped too quickly.
Loads of friends. Lots and lots.
The wind howled in the empty country. And they shivered.
Why were you trying to get to Skid Station?
Barry asked Yaz.
I wanted to see if I could find a flat to rent,
she answered.
I didn't like the man I was living with.
Oh, aha, aha, ha, ha.
Barry stabbed the air with his finger.
So you're trying to escape from him, and maybe now he misses you.
Yaz laughed.
He doesn't miss me. As long as he has his books to read, he doesn't care about real people. If you were living with Percy, you'd want to escape as well. He is really boring. I mean, really?
If he was so boring, why did you live with him in the first place?
I wanted to get out of the swamp I was living in.
Ah, ah!
Barry yelled, stabbing the finger again.
So you were escaping from the swamp. Why?
Yaz sniffed.
I had a friend in the swamp, and she left. And after my friend left, I didn't want to stay there anymore. It reminded me too much of her.
So you were escaping from the memories. Aha! Aha!
Shut up and stop saying aha like that.
Yaz snapped. Barry ignored her.
Why did your friend leave?
He asked.
It wasn't my fault.
She screeched.
Percy hit her with a big stick. I didn't want him to hit her with a big stick, but he thought he was rescuing me from a terrible wart monster.
Your friend was a wart monster?
She was a nice wart monster, if you got to know her.
Yaz snapped. Barry frowned.
Why didn't you tell Percy that?
Because I have my pride.
Yaz answered quickly. She sniffed. It wasn't a very proud kind of sniff.
I thought I was in love with him, you see.
And being in love with someone would help you escape from the boringness of your life. Aha! Aha!
Would you stop saying aha?
So your friend the wart monster agreed to help you and pretend to attack you so that you could get Percy to rescue you?
Yes, I told you she was nice.
And then you let Percy hit her with a big stick.
Yes.
Yaz whispered, more tears spilling down her face.
That's disgusting. No wonder the hex is on you. No wonder you keep trying to escape from all the horrible things you've done. Well, they've caught up with you now. No more escaping and it serves you right. I would never do something like that.
Barry told her, his finger giving a little wag.
Oh yeah?
Yaz snarled.
Then what are you doing here?
Barry Kearns couldn't think of an answer. In a small room in Erblin, an old woman looked at the photographs on the little stained table beside her bed and wished that someone would bring her a book to read. In the hall outside her room, she heard the trolley squeak over the lino. Inside her room, there was no sound but the ticking of the clock.
Would you forgive your friend if they did something mean to you? How mean? Well, I think it kind of depends on what they did to you. And, like, if they did something really mean to you, then you probably shouldn't. But if it was just, like, a little sort of tiny fight, then I'd say you probably could.
Well, like, if they were, like, trying to kill you, you wouldn't forgive them. But, like, if it was only, like, a tiny fight, it didn't matter. Like, you'd, like, forgive them if they were your real friend. Like, we just, like, talked over, like, they said that, like, it didn't matter anymore. And, like, we just forgive each other. because like we were like missing each other because like we thought like we were real friends like before, and then we need to like we missed each other and we had to be taught like we need to be friends again.
Maybe it's hard to believe,
Barry Kern said snippily,
but I haven't betrayed anyone. I don't have to escape from anything.
Oh, don't you?
Yaz snapped back.
What about your bright blue pills?
They help me to feel calm.
So you're escaping from your bad moods?
Yaz stabbed the air with her perfectly polished finger at him.
Aha! Aha ha 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 ha!
So what?
Barry sniffed.
You think that I'm stuck here in Dunleavin just because I don't like to feel angry and nervous all the time?
Well, what are you angry and nervous about?
Yaz asked, hoping she'd get another chance to say, aha.
I don't know,
he muttered.
Well, you must be missing something.
Yaz shrugged.
And something must be missing you.
I'm fine. I have a good life. A good job. Lots of friends. Well, people at work who say hello anyway.
But you keep trying to get to work and you can't. So work isn't the place where you're missed.
Yaz paused.
I wish I'd been nicer to Derek the booksticker. Then maybe I wouldn't be stuck here with you. Nobody at work misses either of us.
I don't care,
said Barry. And he realised it was true. Somewhere in the middle of all of the howling, the screaming and shouting, he had stopped feeling nervous.
I feel stronger,
he said. He stood up and walked off the platform, behind the pointless wall. When he came back, he was clutching a bottle of green super juice and his eyes were shining.
How did you do that?
Yaz gasped.
You just have to jiggle the machine a bit until the bottle falls out.
Barry grinned. With a quick flick of his suddenly confident wrist, he opened the bottle and took a confident sip. He swallowed confidently. He paused confidently. He looked at Yaz.
You know,
he said.
Ugh, really does taste like yak spit.
The countryside blurs and the sights slip away. Fields turn into streets and night slips into day. When all this is faded, cease to exist. Please find me one place in the world where I'm missed.
Find me a place in the world where I'm missed. A loving embrace, sweet lips to be kissed. An old-fashioned welcome, which only be bliss. Please find me that place in the world where I'm missed. Please find me that place in the world where I'm missed. Please find me one place in the world where I'm missed.
Why are we stopping here?
A soft rumbling shook the platform under their feet. Yaz and Barry stared at each other, eyes wide.
That sounds like,
whispered Yaz.
It can't be,
whispered Barry.
A train!
They yelped together.
Wait a second,
Yaz snapped, drawing her plucked eyebrows into a frown.
You mean all along, all we had to do was drink the yak spit?
Maybe.
Barry blinked. He squinted into the distance where two golden lamps shone in the mist.
It's not our train,
he sighed.
It's going the other way, out towards the Purple Hills.
Purple Hills?
Yaz whispered.
That's where the newspaper said Buttercup went.
Are you going to go?
Barry asked. With a hissing squeal, the train to the Purple Hills pulled up at Dunleavin Station. And opened its doors. No one got out. Yaz walked up to the open doors. In a sudden panic, she turned.
No.
She gasped.
I can't. How can I, after what I did? She can't still miss me.
If that's not the place where you're missed, you won't be able to get on the train,
Barry said. Yaz turned back to the train, took a deep breath, put out her bruised purple foot in its spiky purple shoe and stepped through the door. She didn't know whether to laugh or cry.
I don't believe it,
Barry gasped.
We can get out of here.
He ran to the train, but his foot skidded on the icy patch and he fell forward, dropping his briefcase and banging his chin on the platform. He raised his head and looked sadly at Yaz.
It's not my train,
he whispered, his eyes clouding. Yaz waved once as the train clanked away. Barry watched the train grow smaller and smaller as it clanked on, carrying her to the purple hills and far from the shoe shops of home. Then nothing moved but the tumbleweed, and there was no sound but the rustling of the dying grass in the knife-sharp wind. He pulled his coat around him and stared at the frozen fields. He blinked, a thoughtful blink. He took a thoughtful sip of super juice before he remembered that it still tasted like yak spit. He sat on Dunleavin platform without moving while the sun crawled across the sky and set behind the purple hills, covering him in a soft orange glow. He sat while the glittering stars came out and then, just as the silver moon rose up over the frozen countryside, the mist cleared from his eyes and he knew. Barry Kearns knew the answer.
What do you miss most about home?
No way, I miss my friends.
Yeah, people are more important. You miss her. You feel like you're missing them, so.
The following morning, the old lady woke up, just as the nurse arrived with her breakfast tray. She pulled the covers up around herself.
It's cold these days, isn't it?
She said, smiling. The nurse smiled back. She was about 40 and wore a thick jumper and dark glasses. Yes, it's cold these days, she said, putting the breakfast tray down in front of the old lady. I'll be back with the lunch. With that, she left the room and bumped into Barry Kearns in the corridor.
I know you,
he said. The nurse smiled. You should have let me take you here by car. You would have come a day earlier. I hope you had a nice train journey. She pulled down her dark glasses and let him see her eyes. They glowed silver, like the eyes of a cat. Barry opened his mouth to say something before realizing he had nothing to say. Moving stiffly after his night sitting on the frozen train platform, he hobbled into the old lady's room. She looked up from her bed and smiled.
You came,
she said. Barry stared around the empty room. His own face stared back from the framed photos on the little stained table beside the old lady's bed. He blinked. The old lady looked at him, her eyes soft in the early morning light.
I missed you,
she said.
How have you been?
Barry smiled slowly.
Fine, Mother,
he said.
You have been listening to The Arbling Chronicles, a series of children's storytelling hours by Bridget McCone, produced by Heather MacLeod. Today's story was Stations, read by Nicole Rourke, featuring music written, produced and arranged by Tricia O'Keefe, and additional insight and commentary from the pupils of St Joseph's Coed School, East Wall in Dublin. This series was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. Actors in today's story included Gareth Stack, Christina Matthews, Tom Eastaway, Paul Musil and Nicole Rourke. Next week's story is Sapling Beauty, the final story in the series, read by George Saremba. Mike lives in his brother Matt's basement. Matt's wife, June, thinks Mike is a failure, but Mike has secretly been carving his true love out of the heartwood of the living tree, and now the time has come to go on a long and dangerous quest to find the apple of breath and bring life to her. But will she be everything he expected? And will he ever move out of the basement and get a real job? With additional commentary and insight from the pupils of St Joseph's Coed School, East Wall in Dublin. You can contact us regarding the series on heather@dublincityfm.ie, and all the stories in this series, Urban Chronicles, are podcast at www.urbanchronicles.podomatic.com. Tune in again for the final story next Wednesday, 2 p.m. here on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Mind the gap. Excuse me, is this seat taken?
Would you mind helping me with my bag?
Find me the place in the world where I missed a loving embrace, sweet lips to be kissed, an old-fashioned welcome would surely be bliss. Please find me that place in the world where I missed. Find me a place in the world where I missed a loving embrace, sweet lips to be kissed, an old-fashioned welcome would surely be bliss. Please find me that place in the world where I missed.
Tickets, please.
Is this the train to Capital Station? Where on earth am I?
Is there a buffet car?
The wheels spin so fast as the mountains flash by. The track stretches on where the fields meet the sky. The carriages rumble, sliding doors hiss. Find me one place in the world where I'm missed. Find me a place in the world where I'm missed. A loving embrace, sweet lips to be kissed. An old-fashioned welcome would surely be bliss. Please find me that place in the world where I'm missed. The houses streak shadows over my face. The sheep and the cows try to stay in one place. The tracks all run straight, but the fields start to twist. Please find me one place in the world where I'm missed. Find me one place in the world where I'm missed. A loving embrace, sweet lips to be kissed. An old-fashioned welcome would surely be bliss. Please find me that place in the world where I'm missed.
Oh, I think I fell asleep again.
Have you finished with that newspaper?
31 down, Bird of Prey.
The countryside blurs and the sights slip away. Fields turn into streets and night slips into day. When all this is faded, cease to exist. Please find me one place in the world where I'm missed. Find me a place in the world where I'm missed. A loving embrace, sweet lips to be kissed. An old-fashioned welcome would surely be bliss. Please find me that place in the world where I'm missed. Please find me that place in the world where I'm missed. Please find me that place in the world where I'm missed.
Why are we stopping here?
Would you mind helping me with my bag?
Where on earth are we? Hello, Mum.